If you would turn with me into your Bibles to Luke chapter 3, verse 16. This is John the Baptist talking. I want to talk to you this morning about the Holy Spirit and fire. John the Baptist uses this terminology, and it's kind of amazing how the phraseology that he uses here concerning the Holy Spirit. You would think the Holy Spirit depicted in Scripture as a dove. We think of peace when we see doves. At memorial services or at military services, we see the releasing of doves symbolizing peace, tranquility, humbleness, and meekness. But John chose to use the Holy Spirit in a different way this morning. And he talked about the Holy Spirit and fire. So let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for the power of your presence. It purifies us. It stokes the fire. It takes out all the trash in our life, and it refines us pure as gold. And Lord, I pray that as I'm preaching this message, that it would begin to hit the hearts of each and every person that is in this room. And may we not only be just hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. May your word saturate us. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place to bring revelation, to bring truth, to bring correction and reproof, and to bring guidance into our life. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16, it says this, and this is John the Baptist talking, who is the cousin of Jesus. And he said, I baptize you with water, because John the Baptist, right? That's what he does. He baptizes folks. He said, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come. The thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, when we think about fires, we think about all kinds of different things. We think about the fire that consumes. We think about a fire that spreads or that catches things on fire. We think of fires as a light in the darkness. We think of fires as those things that burn up impurities. We think of a refiner's fire who takes gold and puts it in the refiner's fire, and all the heat that is manifested in that place into that gold squeezes out all those impurities, and it lifts it up to the surface so that the refiner can scoop all the impurities out so that it comes out as pure gold. So we see that fire is not only, or the Holy Spirit is not only as gentle as a dove, but he also is as intense as a consuming fire. Now, if you light a match and see it and set a piece of wood on fire, the fire will penetrate that wood. It doesn't just burn on the surface. If you guys have ever tried to light a fire before, you got to know that the wood that you put on there cannot be wet, right? It cannot be saturated with moisture. And so you have to put the wood on there that is dry, that is aged, that is ready to be burned. And once that fire is lit, it doesn't just burn on the surface of the wood. It doesn't just consume the bark of the wood. It penetrates all the way through and consumes the entire piece. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He goes beyond surface appearance and gets to the root of our being. The Spirit doesn't put band-aids on anything. He goes to the core of your problem and your being, and he provides the help that we need. That's what the Holy Spirit's work is all about. We as Assembly of God, church, you know, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in the gifts, the prophetic gifts. We believe in the gifts of healing. We believe in tongues, interpretations of tongues. But for some reason, we have relegated the Holy Spirit just to that. And we think that, man, if I could just speak in tongues, I could be all right. I could be, you know, I could up my game and so forth. And don't get me wrong, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe it's important to a believer's life. I believe it's for all believers, according to Acts chapter 2. I believe that. But when we relegate the work of the Holy Spirit to tongues, we have lost the meaning and the power of what the Holy Spirit is meant to do here on the face of the earth. Jesus said, and it was important that he said this, he said to his disciples, he said, I must go in order that the Holy Spirit may come. Now that is a profound statement that Jesus made. He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans in this world. I'm going to send one to come after me that will be your comforter, that will be your counselor, that will be power in your life. And the disciples were like, we want you to stay. And he said, I want you to go into Jerusalem, and after my ascension, I want you to go there and not do anything and wait. And so they did. They went up into this upper room, and they were all together, just like we are right now, all together, doing what we know to do, and that's worshiping. And all of a sudden, the Bible says there was a sound that began to resonate in the room. And that sound was the coming of the Holy Spirit. It was like the writer of Acts said it was the sound of like a rushing mighty wind. And all of a sudden there was what seemed to be like tongues of fire that separated and rested on each and every individual that was in this room. Now I can't even imagine trying to depict that situation and trying to put that down to pen and paper. But here the writer of Acts is trying to convey what was going on in that room. And the Holy Spirit began to flood that place. And it said that everybody began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But somehow we've relegated the Holy Spirit just to that. But He's so much more. Let's look at the fruit of what happened after the day of Pentecost. Before then, the disciples came to Jerusalem and they waited. They felt dejected. They felt like Jesus had left them behind. They didn't know what to do with themselves. Did they go back fishing? Did they go back to being a doctor? Did they go back to being tax collectors? Did they go back doing their regular stuff that they've been doing all or pre-Jesus? And all of a sudden, through their obedience and as they're worshiping, the Holy Spirit comes and descends on that place and floods in that place like a rushing mighty wind. And all of a sudden, people begin to speak in tongues. But the more important part is that they were filled with the Holy Spirit to do the work that God sent them out to do. How foolish would it be if we went around speaking in tongues everywhere we went? Now, do I speak in tongues often? Yes, I do. But do I, in our conversations, all of a sudden just burst out in tongues? No, that's crazy, all right? Don't do that. What the Scripture says, what does it profit with tongues if there's no interpreter? There must be an interpretation. Now, do I speak in tongues as I worship God? You better believe I do. But I'm not giving a message to the whole church at that time. I'm just worshiping God, and it's coming out that way. But here, we see the Holy Spirit being depicted in a more precise way, in a whole different realm than just that. But the Holy Spirit has come in order that it would burn up and consume all the stuff in our life so that it would purify us, so that we would have power from on high, not just to go through our situations, but so that we could thrive through our situations. You see, there's a peace that only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit to get us through to the other side. But we have to believe it, we have to receive it, and we have to enact it in our life. It's okay to ask God questions. God, why is this happening? Lord, why am I going through this? But at the end of the day, we have to respond by faith through the power and working of the Holy Spirit in our life. Our life can't be filled with constant whys At some point, we have to start being obedient. And the only way that we can be obedient is through the working of the Holy Spirit in each of your lives. You see, as a pastor, I do not have more of a measure of the Holy Spirit than you do. The same Spirit that lives in me lives in you. Because the Holy Spirit is no respecter of persons. There's no Pope in God's world. It's just believers. Amen? No disrespect to the Pope. But that's just the way it is. There's no respecter of persons. The same Spirit that lives in the Pope, that lives in me, that lives in Pastor Gerald and Johnny and Elena, lives in you. You have the same access that we do. Because Jesus, when He died on the cross, He broke down, His presence, His death, cracked the veil into the Holy of Holies. To where it's no longer the priest that can enter in, but all of us, broken, jaded, hurting on the mountaintops, wherever you are in your life, we can enter in to that Holy of Holies. It doesn't matter how many times you have messed up. It doesn't matter how many times you go around the mountain. You are still welcome in God's presence. Can I get an amen this morning? The Holy Spirit has been sent to assure us that we have the power to overcome, not to just get through this life, not just to eke by, not just to get by in life, but so that we can thrive in life, so that we can be more than conquerors in our life. That's the Holy Spirit's business. Now, likewise, preaching that is anointed by the Holy Spirit is fiery preaching. I make no apologies about being passionate about my Lord, about being passionate about His message, about being passionate about His teaching. I don't mistake emotion for anointing, don't get me wrong. But when you're anointed, when you're preaching the Word of God, you should feel some kind of way about that, right? You should feel passionate about that because you have received revelation from the Holy Spirit. I'll speak for myself. I have received revelation from the Holy Spirit, and that which I have been given, I now give to you because I'm excited about it and I'm passionate about it. You don't, new kids, make the honor roll or make a touchdown or does a good deed or does something that make you proud. You don't just sit there and monotone it. Well, Susie the other day, she made the honor roll. I don't know really how I feel about that. Mixed feelings about that. No, you know, when I see Christians score baskets playing basketball, I don't go, well, gosh. No, man, I'm up. You guys want to see your pastor go crazy, just come watch me watch my kids play sports, all right? Or come on Saturdays and watch Tennessee play football. It's nuts at my house. So, but you're passionate about those things, right? You're passionate about it. Wow, man, Joshua, he laid a lick on this kid. He didn't even see it coming. It was awesome. And so we're passionate about those things. And so preaching that is anointed by the Holy Spirit is fiery preaching. That doesn't mean beating people down or condemning them. Rather, it means ministry that penetrates the heart, reveals sin, and vividly shows the need for Jesus Christ. I don't know if you guys ever seen a Southerner preach before. Besides me, I'm pretty tame, all right? I got some pastor friends back home. One particular gentleman, he's an evangelist, and his name is Randy Lanehart. I mean, just that Randy Lanehart, right? Kind of sounds like Braveheart. Makes me want to grab a sword up, right? Charge a mountain. But his name is Randy Lanehart. And first time I ever heard him preach, he irritated me a whole time through because he preaches in falsetto. And he's passionate. He'll take that handkerchief out of his coat, and he said, "Are you hearing me today? Come on, church, are you hearing me today?" I mean, he's just fiery. And they, But when it comes to passionate preaching, it's got to be more than just passion. We can be passionate, but we can also be wrong. We can be sincere, but we can be sincerely wrong at the same time. It's important that our passion reveals the heart of who Christ is. The Holy Spirit has no other agenda except to point people to Jesus. Again, we talked about the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up and preached that first sermon full of the Holy Spirit and power. And after Peter was finished, the people said, "What shall we do to be saved?" You see, Peter, before that, he denied Christ three times when the pressure got hot. And he buckled under the pressure. How many of you guys ever buckled under the pressure before? We all have. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one person in this room that is walking their walk out with Christ to perfection. That's why we need the working and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so here Peter is. He was dejected. He had completely denied Jesus three times. Jesus died. He rose again, and he brought Peter back into the fold again. And all of a sudden, Peter became obedient. The disciples came together in this upper room, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and fire, with power. And after that, the fruit of what happened in that emotional moment was made known and manifest in Acts chapter 2. When Peter stood up, and they were all at this festival called Pentecost. And that is harvest. They're celebrating a harvest, that all the harvest had been brought in, and God's faithfulness and His abundance was on the people. And so they celebrated this feast called Pentecost. And every Jew came from all over the world to this place. And all of them were speaking different languages because they were from all over the world. And they would descended upon this place. And Scripture says that Jerusalem, scholar says that Jerusalem swelled to three times its size. Can you imagine Green Bay swelling to three times its size? In one festival, for one festival. And here, all of a sudden, these disciples begin to speak in tongues. And all these people around them are going, "Are these guys drunk? Have these guys had too much wine? Have they had too much partying?" Because I hear these unschooled people speaking in my own language. How is that possible? And so there was confusion going on. And all of a sudden, this is what happened. Peter stood up and preached the first message full of the Holy Spirit and power. And when he finished, everybody said, "What shall we do to be saved?" See, teaching aids are good and useful, but without the Holy Spirit's fire, hearts will never be humbled and broken before the Lord. You see, I can preach with eloquence. I can preach a good message and get you stirred up, but if it's not accompanied with the Holy Spirit, I have just wasted an hour of your time. Because what happens is I've only connected to you emotionally and not with the backing of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that changes hearts. It's the Holy Spirit that heals spirit, broken spirits. It's the Holy Spirit's work that does that, not mine. In Jeremiah 23, verse 29, God said, "Is not my word like fire? The word preached with the Spirit's fire cuts through the clutter and deals with the troubled condition of our hearts. The Spirit's fire always cuts to the chase and deals with the hindrances that keep us from the blessing of God." The temptation today in Christianity is to make our messages so palatable to the masses that we lose the element of fire. We create services filled with fluff, and we are so concerned with people being comfortable that we nullify and dilute the Word of God to the point of it not being pliable to anybody's life, all for the sake of your comfort. God's not concerned about our comfort. He's concerned with our obedience. Amen? So the fire does this. It burns up the junk as well. Catherine Booth, who is the wife of William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, she said this one time. She said, I travel all over the country. And I hear a lot of eloquent words and many sermon masterpieces. But what my soul longs for is burning words. Those words that cut to the very soul of who I am. It cuts to my motivations. See, nobody knows your clear and true motivations other than you and the Lord. You can trick us. You can put on a happy face. You can tell us that your intentions are this, but your intentions may be complete opposite because we're good at hiding our true intentions. But the Holy Spirit cuts through all of that because He knows your heart. He knows the motivation of your heart, and He cuts to the chase. Catherine Booth said, but what my soul longed for is burning words. Catherine wanted anointed messages that penetrated, stirred, and produced brokenness in our hearts. Malachi 3:3, the prophet Malachi wrote this. He said, God will set as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. When the Holy Spirit searches our heart, He is pure. He is a purifying fire. Just like good fires burn out impurities, unworthy things are burned out of our lives when we allow the Spirit to do its work. Things like pride, bitterness, resentment, anger, hurt and strife. He burns that up when we allow Him the exposure of our hearts. When we allow Him the exposure of our spirits, the exposure of our minds. You guys know that it takes more than one try to change your mind. It takes more than one try to purify the way we think. To change those bad habits of thinking, well, I'm always going to be like this. I'm not trying to be Freud up here, but you get what I'm saying. When you say things and when you hear things perpetuated over and over and over again in your heart and in your mind, it does something to you. And so when we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and to burn up those things, He does quick work. And He begins to change the way we think so that we think that we are something because we are His kids, because we belong to Him. Malachi is saying that God has set Himself up as a refiner and a purifier of silver and gold, that it burns up and refines us. It brings out the stuff that's deep down inside of us, brings it up to the surface. And when that stuff is coming up, it manifests in our life, doesn't it? Sometimes not in a good way. Remember, we should all have hard hats on in this place with shirts that says, under construction. Because when those impurities start to come up out of our life, it's the Holy Spirit's work bringing them up to the surface. Not to torment us, but to purify us. Now, the Holy Spirit and fire is also catching. When the Holy Spirit sets a person's life on fire, the Spirit doesn't stop there. The fire spreads, setting others aflame as well. A growing number of people are longing for the Holy Spirit's fire. We can never do what the Holy Spirit can do. No amount of human talent, no amount of human energy will grow the spiritual kingdom of God. We need to return to depending on the Spirit's fire in our life, which not only quickens and penetrates, but also illuminates our path. Amen. And lastly, the Spirit's fire brings light to the darkness. Thank God that the Holy Spirit's fire also produces light, something we desperately need in a world full of difficulty, in a world full of trouble and strife. The Spirit illuminates our lives and our choices so that we can see the path ahead and we can know what to avoid. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is. So this morning, I want to encourage you to stoke the fire of God in your life. When I build a fire at our house and in our fireplace and our living room, I don't just build it and then let it go. I feed it. When I see it going down again, I put another log on the fire. If I want that fire to continue to burn and to continue to kindle heat, I'll take the stoker and I will stoke that fire to breathe what into it? Oxygen. That for us is the Holy Spirit. We need to stoke that fire. What we did this morning is stoking the fire of God. When you worship God despite your circumstances, you're stoking the embers of the Holy Spirit in your life so that the fire of God can rekindle again in your life. Amen? Some of you today, your fireplaces are smoldering and they need to be stoked today. Let the worship that we just came out of be that stoking. And you throwing the wood on the fire is you getting into God's Word, you believing that the Holy Spirit's going to bring you through this, that you're going to lay your hands down and say, Lord, I take my hands off of it. As much as I want to put my hands on it, I lay my hands down and I trust you. That's throwing a log on the fire of God in your life. Amen. Let's stand up this morning. How many of you guys are receiving that word this morning? It's important to me that you understand. It's important to me that you respond. I can't make you respond. I'm not going to take you by the hand and make you respond. That would be disingenuous on my part and fake on yours. It's important today that we respond to His presence, that we respond to His calling. And today, if you need that fire kindled again, this is what I can do. I can agree with you. I can pray for you. And I'm going to do just that this morning. Today, if you need God's fire, that Holy Spirit and fire rekindled in your life today, I want you to come forward. And Dana and I, we're going to pray over you. Pastor Gerald is here. He's going to pray over Pastor Johnny. He's going to pray over you. If you feel like that your fire has gotten down to where you can't even see the embers anymore, it's just smoldering, you need to be here, right here. Amen? So without any other fanfare, without any other praying, I want you to come. Dana and I are going to be here. Pastor Johnny's going to be here. Pastor Gerald over here. I want you to come this morning. If you need prayer, if that's what's happening in your life and you're like, Pastor, that's me. I want that rekindling now this morning. I've started the process. I want that this morning. Would you come? Would you come this morning? Father, today, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. As I'm praying, you just come on. I thank you so much for the Spirit's work in my life and our lives. Lord, would you rekindle? Would you restore? Would you stoke the fire of God in our life once again? So that we can illuminate your glory wherever we go. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to ask everybody, would you please stand up with me again today as we dismiss? We're going to pray. Ushers, if you would come forward. We're going to take up our offering as well. And here's what I want us to do. I want us to pray over. I want us to pray over our second service. How many of you guys know we got another service coming up? So we're going to pray over that one too, that the Spirit of God would do His work in that service as well. All right? And we're going to take up our offering. I just want to remind you about our one-day campaign. We still got 2 weeks. If you this supports Convoy of Hope. We're asking you to take one day of your wage and work for the hurting. Work for the poor. One day. And in 2 weeks, we're going to take up an offering. And that's going to symbolize our one day that we give toward the hurting all around the world. Convoy of Hope is doing amazing work, and I want to encourage you to pray and ask God to speak to you about that. Amen? Guys, we've got small groups that are coming up. If you want to be baptized, the end of this month, we're going to do a baptism service. Some of you guys need to follow through with baptism. If you've received Christ since coming here and you haven't been baptized, do that. I want to encourage you to do it. Follow through with it. That doesn't take away from what your mom or your dad did for you as a child. We call what we're doing at the end of the month believer's baptism. You didn't have a choice in what went on when you were a child, and thank God for parents that thought enough of your spiritual life to do that. But when you come and you've experienced the Lord and His forgiveness, Scripture tells us to repent, ye therefore, and be baptized. And so I want to encourage you to do that and follow through. What it symbolizes is your old self going down and your new self coming up. The waters of the Holy Spirit sweeping over you. And it's a testimony to your family and to your friends of what Christ has done in your life. I want to encourage you, if you want to be baptized, to sign up in the foyer. All right? And do it. It's amazing. Bring your family, your friends, and let them be a part of this amazing moment in your life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come before You in Jesus' name, and I thank You so much for what You've done in this place. What You have done, no man can do. And so we recognize that today. And we thank You so much, Lord, that You meet all of our needs according to Your riches and glory. I thank You, Father, for Your provision for New Freedom Church. I thank You, Father, for the charitable hearts of each and every person that is in this room. God bless them as they give today. In Jesus' name, amen. Want to, as they're passing the buckets, let me make this announcement too. There's a Chicken Booyah fundraiser going on at Family Video down the road in Howard. That's why some of our members are not here today. They're doing this to support a missions trip to Myanmar to an orphanage. And go down there. If you have buckets, take your buckets down there and let them fill you up with some wonderful booyah, all right? Go down there and support them and buy some soup, all right? Buy some soup. There's baked goods down there too. So, hey, listen, God bless you guys. Thank you so much for coming. Listen, by the way, one last thing. Next week is Pastor Appreciation Sunday, right, Sarah? Listen, you guys, I'm leaving myself out of this, but you guys, through Pastor Gerald and Stephanie, Pastor Johnny and Linda and Elena, you guys have some of the best pastors on the planet. And I want to encourage you throughout this week, throughout this month of October, would you call them and tell them that you love them and appreciate them? Would you do that? Would you invite them into your home for dinner? Would you take them out to lunch? Would you give them a card to say, thank you so much for your witness in my life? And this coming Sunday, we're gonna celebrate what God is doing and celebrate our pastors in this church. It's a thankless job, and we don't ask for thanks. We don't ask for accolades. But this coming Sunday, we're gonna bless our pastors. We're going to show them how much we love them and appreciate them. There's going to be testimonies and all these different stuff that's going on this coming Sunday. Be a part of that, all right? This would be an opportunity for you to invite somebody and say, hey, I want you to come and check out the pastors we have at New Freedom. Amen? All right, listen, God bless you guys. You are dismissed. Again, go buy some booyah, all right?